In the epistle of today's Mass, St. Paul tells us, "So run that you may obtain." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. St. Augustine said once, "If one is called, he must get up at once. Otherwise, there is that danger that he will fall asleep again. And if one hears the call, he must answer. Otherwise, he gets called in vain." I'm sure that most of your parents know how frustrating it can be when you call your children in the morning to get up out of bed, only to find out a few minutes later that, well, they heard the call, but they rolled back over and pulled the sheets up over their head and then dozed off again. I'm sure that happened to quite a few of you this morning. Yet, in your goodness, you go back a second time. And perhaps, for the more lazy among the children, the parents go back a third time to wake them up so that they don't miss out on what the day has to offer. Well, I was thinking this morning, our church really is a mother, sweet and gentle, who tries at various times to wake us up. Remember, all the way back in Advent, we received the first motherly call to wake up. It came in the epistle of St. Paul. "Brethren, it is now the hour for us to rise from sleep." The spiritual alarm clock had sounded. But now that you can look back to that day, how did you respond? Did you throw off the covers and jump out of bed, ready for everything that Advent had to offer? Or did you pull the covers back over your head and roll over and doze off again? Did you find that you were as prepared as you wanted to be for Christmas? Or did you arrive at Christmas unprepared simply because, well, you didn't get up when you were called? But our mother, the church, is so very patient because she calls again today, a second time this year, only this time with a little more urgency. Again, she uses St. Paul for the alarm clock. "So run," he says, "that you may obtain the prize." In other words, this time, my children, don't get up so sluggishly, because now there's no time anymore since you've overslept once already. It's time to get up or you'll miss the bus. And she uses our Lord's words in the gospel today too. "Work, and I will pay you whatever is just." So we're being awakened by our mother for yet another time of preparation. Septuagesima began just yesterday evening. It's the shortest liturgical season of the year, but do not underestimate its importance. You see, Lent is the time of preparation for the greatest, the most solemn feast of the liturgical year, that of Easter. But this time of preparation, I'm referring to Lent, is so important that Holy Mother Church gives us 3 Sundays to organize ourselves, to plan out everything that we want to do for Lent. It's that important. Lent is, after all, a time of conversion, true and lasting conversion. And the first step in any conversion is recognizing that we need to be converted. I am speaking to Catholics, so I'm speaking of conversion in the spiritual life. And that does not merely refer to those who are living in habits of mortal sin. Remember, the lukewarm, they must convert and they must become fervent. The fervent have to convert and strive for perfection, and the perfect must be converted and become heroic in their practice of virtue. We must never be satisfied in the spiritual life with our spiritual status quo, right where we're at. We must never remain in our comfort zone, or, as the moderns put it, our safe space. Don't get cozy there. If you're not going forward, or rather upward, you are going downward. The Winter Olympics is coming up this February, and those athletes, as you know, are the best in the world. They're the best of the best. They are the few who never liked the status quo. They are the few that constantly kept pushing themselves outside of their comfort zone to become better and better until they became the best. For years they trained, they abstained from whatever might hinder them in the least during that race. They put in hours upon hours of practice at the hardest times of the night. And they did not enter the race without preparation. Their mindset, it is that of one of the basketball players that I followed as a kid. The mindset is this: if you put in the work, you will get rewarded, and there are no shortcuts in life. So St. Paul tells us in today's epistle, "So run that you may obtain. For everyone that striveth for the mastery refraineth himself from all things." In other words, if you want to win this race, then you must refrain, you must sacrifice, and you must put up a generous fight. And as St. Paul tells us, never tire of running and striving. You cannot look back. It'll only slow you down. Keep a moving. In the workforce too, even in your particular vocation from God, you know that if you expect good results, you must prepare. Mothers, you know how it is just to cook a meal. How much preparation time is required just to cook a simple meal? Oh, it's the time of driving to the grocery store and the hour or so shopping and then coming back. And then it's the time of putting everything away, getting it all back out again, and making the mixture. And then the time baking. And then the end result is an excellent one. Or teachers preparing for classes, or priests giving sermons. The hours of reading that both require, the hours of writing that each requires as well. A man who is idle or lazy cannot expect good results because he was too lazy to prepare. And so our Lord in the gospel, that's the lesson. He calls us to labor in his vineyard, and he will give us a just reward, but he expects us to labor assiduously. As I said earlier, today you are being called to wake up, throw off the blankets, and get out of bed. You're being called a second time, and time is running out, and you'll miss your opportunity. Our race, your race and mine, it begins on Ash Wednesday. That means that we have only 2.5 weeks to prepare for the most spiritual fruitful Lent of our life. These weeks, they are to be used to find out how you need to be converted. In what areas of your spiritual life do you truly need conversion? Do you live in the state of mortal sin? Well, if so, start there. Are you maybe a little bit lukewarm? Begin there. Attached to venial sins? Are you lazy and neglectful, or prideful and envious? Are you impatient? Do you get disgusted during times of prayer? Now is the time to plan out all of those penances that will help you to conquer those habits and to convert yourself. It is time to plan out your spiritual reading so that you can learn how to convert yourself. If it helps you in any way to know what this year's theme is going to be, you know how we have a Lenten theme every single year, it is going to be based on St. Gertrude the Great, our own patroness. I thought that the sermons, as usual, will be based on her life, her revelations, for the most part, and then the weekly devotional leaflets will have her prayers and incidents from her life and resolutions. We have a lot to learn from our dear patroness. Do you know much about her? Most probably do not, but, well, we are, as Bishop Dolan used to call us, Gertrudians, so we should at least know something about our patroness and her virtues. Do you know Bishop Dolan, when he was a young priest, still out there driving all over the country in the missions, he would have a theme for the names of his chapels in different states. In Pennsylvania, he named all the chapels after mysteries of the rosary. Here in Ohio, he named them after women religious, all of the chapels that he founded. So there was in Urbana, there was St. Margaret Mary. Then in Columbus, it was St. Clair. I think there was a St. Therese somewhere in Ohio. And right here in Cincinnati, St. Gertrude the Great, a wonderful Benedictine nun. And he chose her partly for her devotion to the Sacred Heart, but also her great love for the liturgy. Did you know that most of the time when our Lord appeared to her, and that was daily for about 20 years, I think it was, that he appeared to her during the liturgy, during ceremonies, and he would teach her how to observe each feast day well, what she could do to honor the saint or the mystery that was being honored by Holy Mother Church. And you know how much Bishop Dolan loved the liturgy and the Mass. Now, you might think that other than that, there isn't much that she can offer us to imitate. After all, she was a nun. She was a mystic. And from her childhood, she never had contact with the world since she was raised in the convent from the time she was 5. But you'd be wrong, dead wrong, to think that way. It might interest you to know, for starters, that St. Gertrude was one of those saints who was full of faults. Our Lord hid them from the other sisters, but she herself saw them. She begged our Lord to take them away, and our Lord refused to do so and told her, "No, I will not take these faults away because it glorifies me all the more to see you fighting against them." That should be a consolation to us Gertrudians, who after all are very much full of faults. There is one other quality about St. Gertrude that we should love, because it is what made our Lord love St. Gertrude so much. When asked one day by, I'm not sure who it was, why he loved her so much, he responded, "Because of her liberty of heart." And when questioned further, he explained what he meant. He said, "At whatever hour I come to Gertrude, I find her always ready for my gifts, because she is entirely detached from earthly things." And there it is. The reason that we often miss out on these seasons of grace is because we're too attached to some created good. And Lent is a time in which we strive to remove all of those obstacles to grace, so that when God comes to us at Easter with all of those graces, we're ready for his gift. So let us today and for the next 2.5 weeks be generous in planning out our Lent so that during Lent we truly may be converted to our Savior. May God bless you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.